Thank you for visiting ChristopherMedia.net.
Thank you for downloading Beer Nuts for free on iTunes or from ChristopherMedia.net. Please make sure to rate Beer Nuts 5 stars on iTunes and help to tell others about Beer Nuts by leaving a comment. Thank you for following Beer Nuts on Twitter at Beer Nuts Podcast and on Instagram at Beer Nuts Podcast. Please like the Beer Nuts Podcast on Facebook to like and share Beer Nuts. If you'd like to donate to Beer Nuts, you can click on the PayPal button at ChristopherMedia.net. If you use Amazon.com, please click and bookmark the Amazon link at ChristopherMedia.net. It will not cost you any extra money, and you will help to support Beer Nuts. If you're looking to launch your own website, please click through the HostGator banner at ChristopherMedia.net. Christopher Media uses HostGator to host all of the shows produced by Christopher Media Network. When you click through the HostGator banner at ChristopherMedia.net and sign up for HostGator, you are helping to support Beer Nuts. TheBroBasket.com. Guys are tired of all those boring socks and ties. BroBasket is the answer to the age-old question, what do I get a guy? We know that choosing the perfect gift for a man is a difficult task, but not anymore. TheBroBasket.com is here to help. We all know men are hard to shop for, but what do guys actually like? Their favorite alcohol, that's what. It could be craft beer, wine, whiskey, scotch, or tequila. TheBroBasket.com will put it in a gift basket full of their favorite gear and goodies. You can customize your own BroBasket or choose from a variety of different BroBaskets, like the Ultimate Import Sampler, the Jack and Coke gift set, or the Junior Executive gift basket. Boozeless but still cool BroBaskets are also available. TheBroBasket.com gives you many shipping options to choose from, including rush delivery and Saturdays. 21 and over, please. State and local laws apply. Beer, wine, and liquor are not available for shipping in all states. You can help to support Christopher Media by clicking through the BroBasket.com banner at ChristopherMedia.net. Alcohol gift baskets. What men really want. Men used to be hard to shop for. TheBroBasket.com.
Christopher Media. Let's make some noise.
Welcome to Beer Nuts, a weekly excursion into the world of craft beer. Brought to you by MichiganBeerGuide.com. And now, here are the Beer Nuts.
All right. Number 51. All right. First of another 50. All right. My name is Chris. With me from MichiganBeerGuide.com, JR.
Yeah, I'm thirsty.
Dugout.
Hey, I'm thirsty too.
Uncle Pete with us once again, joining us again in spirit, but he'll be back. It's end of the year. Lots of vacation time coming up for everybody. So I'm sure we'll get a few of these in the can for over the holidays. But today, we got ourselves a mixed nuts on tap. We got all, it's going to be a Road Warriors, but instead we got kind of all kinds of things going on today. And Ross from North Carolina, rumor he's going to be joining us as well. So to get things started here, I believe, Dugout, you got a beer quote for us.
All right. This quote's from a song by Tom T. Hall, and it goes like this. Whiskey's too tough. Champagne costs too much. Vodka puts my mouth in gear. I hope this refrain will help me explain. As a matter of fact, I like beer.
Can't argue with that. Tom T. Hall, where is he from? Where is that? Why does that name sound familiar?
Well, that was a hit song of his. I like beer. It makes me a jolly good fellow.
What else did he do? I feel like I've heard that name. I got Google in front of me.
He had a lot of hits in the 70s. My mom had his 8-tracks.
Let's see. Oh, wow. Watermelon Wine, The Year That Clayton Delaney Died, Ballad of $40. Wow, all right. Oh, and he likes beer, too. So,
Russ likes beer, and he is ready to be Skyped in, I believe.
Oh, look at Ross with the good timing.
He just says, I'm home, what do I need to do? I said, get Skype up and running, so he will be with us momentarily.
All right. Oh, he's on. Add to the call. Hello, Ross. It's contacting him. Oh, we got a glowing blue square. Hey, Ross, can you hear us?
Yep, I'm here.
All right.
Welcome back to the show.
Russ. All right. So,
is it snowy down in North Carolina like it is up here? Probably not.
It's getting cold. I might have to start wearing long pants soon.
Oh, never, buddy.
We had snow on the roads and black ice, and Dugout was on top of a bridge for like an hour and barely moved. So
hour plus, yeah.
Yeah, winter took its time, but it finally showed up in Michigan.
We've had frost a few mornings.
Well, all righty. We just did the quote, Ross, so we're just starting. We haven't even gone into our first beer yet. So,
okay.
Who wants to go first?
Ask our listeners to open up a beer and join us.
Yes, and remember, we're not pretentious. Whether you're a Coors Light drinker or a beer snob for the ages, there's room for you at our table. Whatever you enjoy to drink, crack it open and enjoy a beverage with us.
And who wants to talk about their beverage first?
I'll be happy to. Mine is a pretty strong beer that I'm really looking forward to. It's called Rye Hipster Brunch Stout from Oddside Ales. I believe it was available at the brewery only, although I've heard rumors that there may be a limited amount hitting distribution in the next week or so up here in Michigan. So without further ado, I'm going to crack this baby open. It says rye stout brewed with maple syrup, aged in rye whiskey barrels with coffee and bacon added. It's going to go fit in right well with the other beer that I have for this evening, which Ross will know a lot about.
You have another bacon beer?
Well, we have the beer for breakfast. It's a bit better than bacon, Scrapple.
Oh, right on.
So, okay, I just poured myself a glass of this, and it's nice and nice, rich, thick, dark. Not much of a head on it, but a little bit of a small tan, wispy head. Smells wonderful. You can smell some of the bourbon-y booze, the whiskey. Smell a little chocolate in there. Don't really smell the... I smell the maple for sure, not really the bacon, but maybe a little smoke when I taste it. So I'm going to take a sip.
So this is the time of year for hipster brunch, right? And you're not going to find it behind the counter or in the cooler, right? This is something you got to talk to your guy about.
I've heard a rumor that there will be a limited amount hitting stores next week. It'll probably be like single 12-ounce bottles in your local homebrew store or your local craft beer stores, party stores as we call them in Michigan. So if you're in the right place at the right time, I think they're like $8 a bottle, so they're not cheap, but they're fantastic because I just tasted this one and I'm really, really pleased with it. I actually could smell the maple aroma, and I'm very pleased that you can taste a maple. A lot of maple beers, the maple gets fermented out, and you don't really get that nice maple flavor. So maybe it was back sweetened a little bit, but it's very nice. It's got a little bit of sweet maple to it, balanced very well by the bourbon flavor. You take another sip. Oh yeah, very very subtle smokiness, which would probably be the bacon. It's not a very prevalent flavor, but I really like the rye. You can taste the spiciness of the rye, and overall it's just a excellent warming the innards, good for this winter weather. Really a delight to drink. I hope you guys can get an opportunity to try this, and I have a couple more bottles, so Doug out, I'll make sure that you get the opportunity to try it, and hopefully you too, Chris. Hopefully we can have a little holiday shindig at some point. We all can get together.
Yeah. A bit of serendipity, John. I missed it by about half an hour last night. I was late to a bottle share, and they'd opened three different Oddsides things, and I missed all of them. Regular hipster brunch I'd had before, but this one I hadn't had, but the bottle was empty by the time I got there.
Was it this exact beer, the Rye Hipster?
The Rye Hipster, yeah.
Okay. There's also, I believe, a sweet potato one. I don't care for sweet potatoes, so I passed on it. I had a friend that had some, but... if you're into that,
That one was bourbon barrel aged as well, I believe.
Yes, it was.
So it pretty much is sweet potato beers. Pretty much mimic, with my experience, anyways. Pretty much mimic pumpkin beers, and a lot of pumpkin beers do contain sweet potato in them.
Well, I can tell you that I'm not a big fan of pumpkin or sweet potato. So. Not to say that might not be a great beer, and maybe I should keep an open mind and try it, but when I had the opportunity...
The odds are against it.
I was all in on the Rye Hipster Brunch Stout. I had been told by some people that had it at the brewery that it was the best of the ones that they were releasing that day, and that's the one that I asked as a favor to somebody to pick some up. I was lucky to have a friend mule me some back from the release, and I'm really glad I did, because it's reminds me almost of sort of like a Bourbon County, only sweeter and with the maple. The maple really is prevalent, but it's got that same kind of mouthfeel as like a Bourbon County stout from Goose Island. It's a little bit different, you know, it's got a little bit of a different maltiness to it, but it's on that almost, you know, that same par level of, you know, really nice bourbony, just really complex, you know, maple, a little bit of smokiness, just a very little bit. But really, I think what sets this apart is the rye, because the rye gives you that nice rye spiciness. You know, it's a little bit of stronger malt. Really, really a treat. So I would highly recommend anybody can, if you run across this, to pick up a bottle. It's worth every bit of $8.
It's one I keep looking for. I only seem to have one shop by me that really will stock the odd side, and every time I go in, I look for it, and I'm learning.
This will probably be a ask behind the counter thing. So the best thing you can do is if you frequent one store, you know, try to, you know, make sure that they know you when you come in, and if you're there often enough, they'll get to know you, and you know, you'll get a little bit more clout. But you got some good beer stores up there. I mean, downriver where I'm at is a little bit more challenging, but this is 11%. A lot of people were a little down on outside ales. You know, not to be negative, but I have to just tell the facts. Last year there were some issues with some of their beers having getting a tart infection, somewhat of an infection in some of the beers, and they did recall, I think, Morningwood? One of their offerings was recalled, and they did refund it or replace, whereas some of the, I know Hipster Brunch was one of the other ones affected, and they did not offer a refund, and that upset a lot of customers that had gone to the release and bought like full cases of the stuff, and then so
had
now
a,
I believe they
had to pour it all out down the drain.
I believe now they instruct everybody not to cellar these, just to drink them when you get them because they're good. It actually says in the bottle here, keep refrigerated, drink fresh. So I guess that's their way of saying drink it while it's good. And this particular bottle is bottled on 10/27/16. It's only a month old, 6 weeks or so. So, but I can tell you it's drinking well now. So if you got them, smoke them.
Well, and Oddside is a great place. I don't know if you guys have been there or not. It's in right in downtown Grand Haven, Michigan. It's right on the lake and the river. And there's a right outside the door, there's a musical fountain that goes off in the nighttime during the summer. And it's really a cool location. It's an old piano factory. And there's always something crazy on tap there. Tons of offerings on draft, tons of offerings to go and bottles at all times.
Well, and I've enjoyed a lot of their beers. And I'm not one of those people that holds that, holds a grudge, but I can understand people that spent a lot of money and those beers turned on them and then they had no recourse. So I can see both sides of it. And I'm only putting this out there just to, as kind of like a reporter, just telling the facts as they are. But, you know, I'm more than happy to go the next time they have, some of these finer beers they put out, because, you know, I will drink them fresh and not cellar them. I won't maybe buy the quantity I had bought in the past, but, you know, it's a fantastic, very well-constructed beer that I think anyone would enjoy, and I wish you guys could be here to taste it with me because it's fantastic. And I'm really impressed with the way that maple and the rye blends together. Truly a nice brunch stout. So, cheers, everybody, and I guess we can move on to our next beer. So, be on the lookout in Michigan, guys, for some of these Oddside barrel-aged beers. Be a little early Christmas if you find one.
Dugout, what do you got over there?
Well, You know, I have the Road Warrior part of this episode. I know we talked that we were splitting this up. We were originally going to do Road Warrior and turned into a mixed nuts. So I have the Road Warrior leg of it because I was traveling all week in Indiana. First beer I have is by a brewery called Bare Hands Brewery. They're out of Granger, Indiana, which is just right next to South Bend. And this beer is called Westy IPA. It's a 7% IPA, uses two different hops, and it has American Two Row and Crystal Malt. So very simple ingredients. You pour it out, it's very light in color, and it definitely has that West Coast pine smell to it, a bit of grapefruit in the nose. And wow, your first sip is just this really juicy, juicy hop flavor, almost like orange juice and grapefruit mixed, and then it's just followed by a really crisp, bitter finish. It's really well balanced. I would say it's got really kind of a creamy mouthfeel to it. Well balanced being for an IPA. This is definitely the hop presence there is here, but absolutely outstanding in my opinion. This is the second beer I've had from these guys, and the first one pretty much blew my doors off. And so I picked some of this up when I was on the road, and this is my first time having it, and I'm very well impressed by it.
This is the Westy IPA?
This is Westy IPA.
I'm on their website. Looks really good.
Yeah, I believe it's their flagship IPA. I'm looking forward to getting into this place. I didn't realize it was how close it was to where I stay when I'm in Indiana. So I'm going to have to get in there and check this place out.
Yeah, I could kick myself. I was in Indiana last week in Indianapolis for the Big Ten Championship, which my Penn State Nittany Lions, my alma mater, did win the Big Ten. Thank you. Sorry, Michigan fans. In any event,
I just have an issue with the whole playoff system. But that's another conversation for another.
Oh yeah, time. Yeah, it is. But anyway, when I was in Indianapolis, I did have some very good beers there, and I was looking forward to picking some up on Sunday on my way home, only to find out that Indiana still has blue laws and none of the party stores were open. So
that's no hurt. For that's me. Hurtful. You know, that's just really. Hurtful.
Wow. I would leave Indiana. I would just protest and leave. We're leaving. Let's go, kids.
I had no choice but to protest and leave. I will say at least I got to go to Waffle House. But, yeah, I had a wonderful beer there from Sun King, which Dugout has brought me a lot of Sun King,
right?
Sun King. This was the Fistful of Hops, the red can. A very wonderful red Imperial IPA, I believe it was, or red IPA. Very good. But Bare Hands, I just want to read the Dugout Spear, the description. It's a 7% ABV IPA. It says, our house IPA brewed with two of the best hop varieties in the Pacific Northwest. A simple malt bill of American Two Row and Crystal Malt ride behind huge tropical citrus and pine hop aroma and flavor. Juicy hop flavor is followed by a crisp finish with just enough bitterness to balance. The true taste of freedom and adventure. The Westy is the best, so drink it hella fresh. Did we lose somebody?
Yep, get Dugout back on the line here. There he is.
Oh, back.
Okay. So I just read the description, Dugout, but I also wanted to mention this seems like something you might be interested in, and maybe on your next trip you can look for this. There's one called Thai IPA, T-H-A-I, like Thailand Thai.
Correct, yes. I did see that.
Have you seen that one?
Yeah, one thing I was going to mention about their beers is they're not for the faint of wallet. I think you'd be hard-pressed to find a four-pack of 16-ounce cans for under $14.
Woo.
So, yeah, they're up there. But I went out on a limb on a recommendation on the first time, and I think it was $17 for a four-pack. It was a double IPA by them, and it just blew my doors off. This one was a little less expensive, and this one is blowing my doors off as well. I'm really enjoying this. I think they're really doing good work over there. Can't wait to try some more of the beers. I mean, you just don't accidentally make good IPA or IPAs this good.
No, and I believe I've heard you bring up the Westy name before. So, heard you guys batting it around. So, it's something that, I'm definitely looking forward to trying. So, I'm guessing now it is my turn. And I got myself a collaboration, but it's not between a brewery and another brewery. It is between a brewery and an ice cream company. I have from New Belgium and Ben & Jerry's chocolate chip cookie dough ale. I picked it up. I saw the bottle. I'm like, I have to try this. We have to get this on the show. I've been sampling it while you two guys have been drinking yours. Now the color, I mean, it's you can see through it. It's definitely golden. Not much more to say to it. Golden, clear. On the nose, you're picking up more vanilla than anything. You get a little faint aroma of hops, but definitely more vanilla. You taste it, the light mouthfeel. You know, I dare to say we're even venturing into the realm of crisp. It is as advertised. Really, really strong vanilla, both in the front and in back. I wouldn't drink a whole six-pack of this, I'll tell you that. I would put this in the class of something like the Southern Tier Creme Brulee Stout, where you have one glass, but it's just, it's good, but it's sweet. I would dare to even call this a dessert beer, but good job, New Belgium and Ben & Jerry's. If I see another collaboration, I'll pick it up. This wouldn't be in my rotation, but definitely around this time of year, definitely would be something I'd probably keep something around for when company shows up. Maybe even a good starter craft beer for somebody who's trying to get into the game. So, yeah, good job, New Belgium.
Yeah, I'm on their website now, and they actually had events throughout the country. I'm not sure exactly what the event was, but I would imagine they probably tasted the ice cream with the beer, but the event in Michigan, in Detroit, was November 23rd, and tonight, the day we're recording, December 8th, was in Grand Rapids. So I don't know what they're doing out there in the snowstorm tonight, but Grand Rapids has a event celebrating this beer tonight.
I'll bet they're having fun, because Grand Rapids is used to snowstorms. So
yeah, snow's not new.
Nothing stops there.
I'll tell you, if you're a fan of cream soda, you'll love this beer. This beer, that's kind of what this reminds me of. Kind of like a beer and a cream soda combined.
Well, you know what? I've seen it in stores, and I was kind of like, I don't know if I'm going to get that. But it actually sounds, from your review, like it, probably worth picking up. Yeah. I don't know if I could drink all six of them, if I could find somebody that will share it with me.
I wouldn't plow through a sixer of this, but, I mean, I have a couple.
Yeah, I had that beer, I believe, last year. Came out at Christmas time also. And from what I remember, your description's dead on, Chris. And also, the one-and-done description is dead on my palate as well. I mean, I enjoyed the beer I had. Would I ask for another one right away? No. Would I buy it? Yes, but not six of them.
Yeah, if I was bringing stuff to share.
Our friends at Merchants in Dearborn, Michigan sell singles, so maybe we can pick up a single there.
Yeah, that's how I got mine.
Or, it's coming up on Christmas time. Buy a six. You have your one. You leave the other five at the party.
Yeah, that's an idea. Or, as you run into various friends, hey, take this with you. Try this. Take it home with you. Happy holidays.
This would be a good beer to be a good sixer to bring to a party, because you can have a couple and then let the other four circulate.
Agreed. And actually, when I was in Vermont this summer, I visited the plant up in Stowe, Vermont, just outside of Stowe anyway, and I was very pleased to learn that the founders, Ben and Jerry, are actually Penn Staters. So
there you go. Alums.
So they actually started selling their ice cream in a gas station in State College while they were college students, and it evolved into this international brand that everybody loves, and they put a lot of their profits back into the community and do a lot of good things. So good people to support.
All right.
So, Ross, do you have something you'd like to share with us from North Carolina?
Well, I thought we were going to do the beer for breakfast at the same time.
Oh, we can do that, or we can save that for last.
That's all. I have to run downstairs. Yeah, we'll do that. Do the beer for breakfast now, I guess.
Okay.
Let me get mine cracked here.
I'm going to have to go get another glass. Excuse me. I'll be right back. You can go ahead and talk, and I'll jump back in when I get back.
Okay. So I'm going to preface this by saying I had the small batch of this, the experimental batch that was released back in, I guess they made it in 2014. And this is the large batch they made this year, which hit distribution and made all 30 states, I guess. The small batch was made in the 5-barrel facility at the Rehoboth Brew Pub. And it definitely tasted a little different. And I'm gonna wait for John to come back before I go into those differences a little bit, I think. But
sounds like John's back.
Yeah, that's
right. Yeah. What's going on over there?
I'm back. You okay, John?
Yeah, why?
It sounded like you fell down the stairs or something, man. I don't know.
Yeah, no, it was just some crazy noise.
My headphones were tangled up with the microphone.
Ah.
Minor inconvenience. All right, I'm good to go. I got my beer for breakfast here.
Okay. John, I was telling him that I had the original small batch of this in 2014, and I've told that story before, I think, on a previous podcast. This batch that they made this year, I'll go into the differences after we review it here, I guess. But it definitely tastes a little bit different. It's still good. I'm not going to bash this batch at all. It's a good beer, but it's got some differences from the original batch they made. So, if you want to take off on the initial describing of this batch, because you've not had the other one, I guess. So,
I have not, but okay. Well, it's very similar in appearance to the first beer that I had. Nice, thick, dark, black in appearance. This has a little bit more of a head, though. Nice tan head covers the top of the beer. The aroma's more coffee than anything I'm getting. A lot of coffee. Definitely... definitely can taste the coffee first, but there's definitely some other stuff in there, which is probably from the scrapple and breakfast byproducts. It's a little bit of a spiciness to it, almost similar to that rye. I don't get as much barrel on this. Well, actually, that's not barrel aged, so that's why. So as a native Pennsylvanian, scrapple is dear to my heart, and I was really excited to have this. You can't really taste scrapple per se, but you can tell there's a little something unique to this. It doesn't have the smokiness of a bacon. I'm not sure if I would be able to identify that there were pork byproducts in this beer without knowing what was in it. To me, the mouthfeel, it's not as thick as the previous beer that I tasted this evening. And of course, there's no bourbon because it's not bourbon barrel aged. But it's a nice breakfast stouty beer. Kind of reminds me of like the Founder's Breakfast Stout. Maybe not quite as thick, a little bit thinner on the mouthfeel. But it's pleasant, and I'm enjoying it.
So, what I would say is the original batch of this they made on the 5-barrel facility. They put 25 pounds of scrapple in the smaller facility, and I think I want to say I saw they used 200 pounds this year in the significantly larger facility. So the ratio of the amount of scrapple that actually went into it was smaller overall. So I think it lost some of that. So whereas I I had specifically called out that, yeah, you can really taste it on that small batch. It's kind of, there's something there, but you can't really get it. And I think they probably made that choice consciously because they're mass producing this. And the word scrapple still scares a lot of people. I don't know if you noticed the way it's packaged, but they don't actually, on the six-pack packaging, it doesn't say scrapple anywhere. It only says it on the bottle. So that if you're picking up the six pack scrap package, you don't see the word scrapple anywhere. It's only if you actually pull a bottle and look at it that you'll see that. So I think they made a conscious choice to scale that back.
I can see the marketing execs figuring that one out.
And what I was going to say is this one is what stood out to me. The main difference from what I remember is this one has a little bit more carbonation to it. Then you can definitely feel that, and it's a little bit thinner.
I agree.
Than the original batch was, but it's still a good beer. I still love it. I'm not going to bash it, but it is. They obviously changed the recipe a little bit for when they mass produced it. The sweetness is about the same as I remember. You can still get the maple in there. But yeah, some of the mouthfeel changed significantly, and the taste of, you could really taste the scrapple previously, and now it's just a very faint taste.
I would agree, and it also says there's spices in it, and I could definitely taste the spices. That's why when I was reviewing it, I said it was kind of like the rye. There was a spiciness, but the bottle says ale brewed with scrapple, spices, coffee, and maple syrup with coffee added. So definitely coffee is my number one prevalent flavor. The spices jump out at me, and I would say scrapple and maple are in the background.
Yep.
But I would encourage anyone to try it. Just try to block scrapple out of your mind if you have a negative impression of it. Scrapple's really delicious to me.
Sure.
Not much different ingredients that's in a hot dog, right?
Yeah. Shortly after the release, I had a share at my house, since it's actually distributed down here, I went out and I bought a few bottles to have, and I also cooked a couple packages of scrapple up to have out so that people could actually eat some for all the people who hadn't had it. There's a surprising number of people who actually were willing to try it, that once they'd had a few beers, of course.
Did they enjoy it?
Yes. I don't think anybody actually disliked it. There were some people that would probably not choose it, given, you know, the choice of bacon or sausage or something. But there were others who professed to like it. Maybe not as much as I do, but when you grow up on it, it's different.
Yep. Well, fortunately, I have some in my fridge now because my wife recently went back to Philadelphia to visit her father and brought back Taylor pork roll and Haberset scrapple. So, Doug and Chris,
this is Rappa.
Doug and Chris, we're going to have a scrapple party.
Yeah.
I'm sure you can't wait.
The official Dogfish Head is a brand of scrapple is Rappa, who's a...
Yes, yep.
They package it just down the street from the Milton Brewery, so...
I don't know. I've always thought of scrapple as like haggis, you know. When I had haggis, I liked it. So I would imagine I would probably like it. It's just got a strange name.
Give me a couple big beers. I'll try.
Exactly.
So another funny story about Dogfish Head was the beer for breakfast came out. It was released on the same Monday that they released Worldwide Stout this year. And I had called my mom, who's a half hour away from there, and they like to go eat at the brew pub anyway. They're not necessarily beer people, but they like the food at the Dogfish Head Brew Pub, and so they go there occasionally. And I said, well, hey, if you're going to go to lunch on Monday, maybe you could go to Dogfish Head and get the things that are being released for me, and I'll pick them up at Thanksgiving. And that was before I realized that Beer for Breakfast was going to distribute everywhere. But my mom got slightly confused. I had told her to get a case of Beer for Breakfast and then four packs of Worldwide. And when I asked her how much I owed her, she said, well, it was about $300. And I did a kind of, what did you buy again? And she had actually bought me a case of Worldwide and a case of Beer for Breakfast. So.
Oh, wow.
Wow. Thanks, Mom.
There's worse problems to have.
I'll take some of that worldwide off your hands.
Yeah, so 24 bottles of worldwide.
Wow.
But I had friends who were perfectly willing to pay for it at cost, since I was lugging it down here anyway. So I distributed the 12 extra bottles that I didn't need.
Nice.
Worst problems to have, my friend.
Yeah.
I just got a text from Uncle Pete. He picked me up some beer at Three Floyds tonight. Some permanent funeral and some zombie dust. So thank you, Uncle Pete.
Ooh, zombie dust.
Right on. I picked some zombie dust up yesterday myself.
See, he managed to make the podcast and he didn't even know it.
Well, I just texted him back. I said, do you have any messages for our listeners? So we'll see if he texts back. He really misses being on the show, and there's light at the end of the tunnel. His work assignment is going to be local next year. So he is very much looking forward to being back in the fold with us. So,
all right.
Cheers, Uncle Pete. We're all toasting to you now, and we look very much looking forward to your return. It was great to be with him on the anniversary show and the Sours. And it won't be long now till he's back with us for just about every show. So that's a great thing. So who wants to go next?
Well, I got something pretty cool here. Christopher, you had mentioned collaborations, and you know, never thought of why we never did a collaboration episode before. Maybe that's in the cards down the road real soon. But I have a collaboration beer here that's two brewers that are collaborating together for the common goal of one awesome beer. Now, the beer I have is called Emergency Malt Kit, and it is brewed by Sun King Brewery from Indianapolis, Indiana, and Rheingeist Brewery from Cincinnati, Ohio. So it is listed as a 100 shilling Scottish style ale, which, and we've done a whole show on Scottish ale, but it's typically would be a, 70 shilling would be the high. So this one's, it's sort of a joke, really, you know.
70 shmevendi, right?
Yeah. we're taking this one up to 11. No, they took it up to 100. So pours a really caramely brown color, almost like tobacco juice. It's not much of a head to it. I mean, a decent amount, but I wouldn't expect that from the style of beer. And it's man, it's got a lot of malt on the nose. So the beer is called a Scottish style wee heavy meets Belgian style dark hybrid, descendant of Wee Muckle and Mastodon, which are beers from Rheingeist. I mean, it's caramel all the way. I mean, it's almost got a little bit of toffee and chocolate to it. But the malt is the real forward presence in this beer. Not a lot of hops to it, just a little bit of earthiness to it. Almost a smoky flavor, but not overpowering, and certainly not any kind of artificial smoke added to this beer.
These go to 11.
I've seen this as being somewhat of a buzz beer. I've seen a couple of emails or beer rating sites that have this really high up on their radar. And I think for good reason. It's 6%, so it drinks really easy, but it almost tastes like it should be 8 or 9%, like a really heavy ABV beer, and it's not. And that's really a nice thing about this. This was originally, this was supposed to be a shared review tonight, but because of the weather, I wasn't able to get the one of the other cans over to JR, but you got one on your name, with your name on it.
Well, I look forward to it. It sounds really interesting, and can't wait to try it. So I would like to read Uncle Pete's message, if that's okay.
Go ahead.
Uncle Pete writes, "Sure, please send my holiday greetings and regards to everyone on the Beer Nut Show. To our listeners, I hope everyone enjoys the season and all of the great craft beer offerings that pair so well with the season, with family, friends, and great food. Cheers from somewhere on the road, Uncle Pete. So, one more toast, Uncle Pete.
Right on, right on. So, I'd say one more thing about this beer and turn it over to you guys. It's for me, this one screams fireplace, cold weather, snowy night, roaring fire, sitting around in sweaters and just drinking this stuff, and maybe have a wee dram on the side.
Oh, sidecar, eh?
Oh yeah, that sounds really good. So speaking of Scotch drams and Scotch ales, I had a beer when I was in Indianapolis. Had nothing to do with being in Indianapolis. It was just a beer I grabbed up here, but it was by Stone, and I can't even remember the name of it, but it was aged in Scotch barrels, and this thing was a Scotch bomb from the ages. So I would encourage anybody that likes Scotch to pick one of these up. I'll check my Untappd and get the name of it. It's in stores now, I think. I just wanted to point out it was really nice, really very strong, peaty, smoky Scotch. So it's not for everyone, but if you're a Scotch connoisseur, you would love to have this beer. And I'll have it momentarily, the name of it. But that beer that you have now, that sounds perfect to have a little dram, little Scotch on the side with that malt bomb there.
Well, what I'm really enjoying about this beer is that most of the commercial products from both of those breweries tend to be on a lighter side, and they're more towards pale ales and IPAs. It's really nice to have something with more depth to it from these guys, and I could see where both of them, you know, they have that kind of capacity to do those big, heavy beers, but a lot of their market are those kind of sessionable IPAs and pale ales, and we've reviewed them on the show to great reviews. And even, you know, they're double red and things like that, just really, really good stuff.
Excellent.
Okay, well, that's...
Tell me a good Scotch ale. Well, I wanted to just follow up with what I said. The beer that is really hardcore, very strong, peaty Scotch barrel age is Double Bastard, Bigger, Longer, Uncut.
Ooh.
American Strong Ale, 13% ABV, 100 IBUs. So it's got a lot going on, man. It's only got like a slightly over like 3.25 stars on Untappd. So I think a lot of people give it a low review because they don't appreciate the peaty strong Scotch. This is not for everyone. I gave it a 4.5. I loved it. So Double Bastard, Bigger, Longer, Uncut. If you are bold enough, go for the gusto. But that beer that Dugout has really piques my interest, and look forward to trying that. I love a good malty Scotch ale. Christopher, do you have anything to add? Another beer?
We're not going to review the beer I'm drinking right now, because it's the holiday season, and I'm going to be nice. So,
okay.
Yeah, we won't mention any names. But, no, I'm all set on my end. You guys got anything else you want in? Any more beers you want to review?
I can do one more. So,
please do.
It's something I've sent to John a couple times. I think he's enjoyed it. It's probably one of our best local treasures, and they made a little more of it this year. Thankfully, it's a beer called Drunken Vigils by Southern Pine Company.
And some in my fridge now.
I've stated before, Southern Pines, they've been around for a couple years, and they didn't make anything that just wowed me until they made this. And it's just a really, really good. They call it a breakfast stout. It's one of the higher ABV things you can get in North Carolina. It's 14% this year, and it's just a really, really good beer. And I managed to grab about a case and a half of it this year. So, opening up.
Yes, and it does come in a can. It's one of the best canned beers I've ever had.
So it pours. It pours like oil. It's thick. It's heavy.
10W40.
Yeah, the smell is it's a very there's a lot of stuff going on here. It's you've got this weird kind of a maple smell to it, which is odd. They don't actually use any maple. It's probably the caramel doing something funny. There's a coffee. Just you get the chocolate is there. Yeah, it's a wonderful complex smell that it has. A little bit of vanilla in there as well. The taste is, as John can probably tell you, it tastes awesome. It has a very good the mouth feels is not thin at all. It's very heavy in the mouth. And it's right on the border of maybe being too sweet, but it doesn't push you over the top. It's not something like you mentioned the Southern Tier, the creme brulee earlier. It's not something where you're saying, oh, I'm going to stop because this is too sweet. You know, like one glass of it was enough based just on the sweetness. The problem with this is it is 14%, and the one thing that it doesn't do is taste like 14%. It you'd swear drinking this it's not more than 7 or 8. It will sneak up on you.
So the kind I like to classify in the dangerous category.
It is very dangerous. We open cans of this at local shares all the time, and it really does sneak up on some folks. They don't
all of a sudden somebody shirts off.
They just don't realize how
dancing on the tables.
everybody who tastes it, who's never had it before, forswears that it couldn't possibly be the ABV that it says it is. But I can tell you, after having a few, you feel it.
Yeah, I love this stuff, man. And he's right; it sneaks up on you. It's delicious. It's easy to drink. You know, you have no idea what's hitting you, and then all of a sudden you finish one, and you're like, "Whoa!" Get up out of your chair, and you need to sit down again.
Yeah. I chased these guys for the better part of a year after they canned it for the first time last year, and told because they made it as a once. They said, "Oh, well, that's on our schedule to be released again." Next February, late February, early March. And every time I saw them at any kind of beer show or, little place where the brewer was showing up to show off the beer, even any of their reps, I hammered home the point that this is your moneymaker, guys. This is killer. You got to make more of this more often. And so I guess it wasn't just me because they actually released a batch in October this year. So all the harping on making more of it worked, and they made a lot more, and they made it a few months earlier, so I think they're going to make 2 releases a year now, which we will appreciate.
We got to love breweries that listen to the consumer. I mean, you got to look at it, you know, if every other person's asking you for something, you're leaving money on the table. So
yeah, they were very, very committed to trying a certain percentage of new things all the time.
Mm-hmm.
I guess they took off one of those slots and put on, we're going to make this twice a year now. So I'm very, very glad for that.
I'm on their Facebook page, and I just noticed something that I wanted to bring to your attention, Russ. You may know this. It says, Drunken Vigil's Breakfast Stout just won Stout Bout 2016 at High Wire Brewing. After a blind tasting of all sorts of amazing stouts, the people picked Drunken Vigils as the best stout. Cheers. And it's got a picture of first place Southern Pines Drunken Vigils, second place Founders Lizard of Kaz, third place Highland Brewing Coconut, like Astronaut Coconut, Russian Imperial Stout brewed with vanilla, toasted coconut, and coffee. That sounds pretty good. I know that's another NC beer. Mm-hmm. But yeah, they beat out Lizard of Kaz. So when you're beating Founders in a competition of blind tasting, you're doing something right.
This stuff sounds fantastic. I'm kind of drooling thinking about it.
I got a couple cans left dug out. I'll make sure that one of them goes your way.
And I've got, like I said, I've still got the better part of a case, so I can send some more John's way as well.
Well, we'll be seeing each other on New Year's Day, correct?
I am hoping so. My wife is making plans for various things that we're going to be doing about that time. As long as as long as the skiing in the Poconos is sandwiched around that, I'll be there. if she decides that we're going somewhere else, then I have tickets to sell. So she's still making those plans. But right now, I'm pretty sure we'll be skiing, so I'm pretty sure I should be there.
All right, well, keep me posted because I've been stockpiling some goodies for you.
Yeah, I've got plenty of stuff for you, too, as you know.
Figured we'd just exchange at the game.
Yep. If not, I will be in the area at some point. I know you'll be in the area at some point, too, right? So I can make a trip from my parents' house at some point. But yeah, as everybody, I don't know if you know, but I send pictures of stuff that shows up on the shelves here to John all the time. And do you want this? Do you want this? So.
Usually the answer is yes.
Well, hey, you guys bring up New Year's Day. It's a holiday season. It's a holiday times. I figured this week, instead of trying to do Brewery of the Week and Beer of the Week, since it's mixed nuts, it's usually kind of impossible because we all have something different. I'm going to ask you guys, you got any beers on your Christmas lists, so to speak?
Well, I can start this one off, and I will get you guys some of this stuff. It's called Hot Dutch Cocoa, and it's an imperial stout, imperial oatmeal stout with Dutch cocoa, vanilla, cinnamon, and devil's tongue pepper. And it just finished up. It's a beer I made about a month and a half ago. Ooh. So it's been conditioning all this time, and it is now ready to drink. And I've tasted it, and I like it. Other people have tasted it to pretty much rave reviews. It's not that burn your face off kind of smoked porter that I did last year, so I went a lot easier on the pepper. But that's on draft right now, and I'm drinking it. So I'm wishing I had another keg of it, that's for sure. But it'll definitely be around long enough to get you guys some of it.
Ooh. Well, I've got a couple beers on my radar that are going to be tough to get, but I'm determined to get them. And, Chris, you might even be able to help me when you go back to the Pacific Northwest. There's one from Fremont Brewing, which I believe is Washington or Oregon. Maybe it's Portland.
That's a Fremont, Seattle.
Seattle, okay. So Washington was first. They make a beer. There's two really good barrel-aged beers they put out. One is called Kentucky Dark Star, or the acronym KDS, as opposed to RKBS from Michigan. That's one that is on my radar that I've been trying to get. And there's another one, I think, that has an imperial stout, bourbon barrel stout with cinnamon. I think that's called Abominable, like the Abominable Snowman. So both of those two are kind of on my radar. And I do have a trade partner that is up in, I believe, Portland. But, you know, he is kind of on the case for me, trying to find me some. The other beer that is kind of on the whale scale is a beer from a brewery in California called Bottle Logic. And it's called Fundamental Observation. Very well known to beer snobs that trade a lot. And, again, it's kind of a reached whale status. I think it's like trades for about $200 value. But I believe I have some local buddies here that are going to help me get that. I do have a Bourbon County Vanilla Rye from a few years ago, which trades for about $300 in value. And I've had Vanilla Rye several times, and I figure why not get some other big whale that I've never had and maybe a couple other things to go with it in exchange for this one that I've had many times. So if and when I pull the trigger on that, which I'm pretty close to doing, I'll be sure and save this whale to drink with you guys. The Fundamental Observation from Bottle Logic. So there's my Christmas wish list. Anybody else?
I got it. Mine's short and sweet. I had a couple. It's just beers that I've heard about since I've been doing these podcasts with you gentlemen, and I've yet to get my hands on. I mentioned it earlier, the Hipster Brunch, and then from Founders, KBS. I have yet to have me some KBS. So that's mine are local. I got a month off. I could probably chase them down if I was really motivated enough.
I got the KBS for you. I have Plenty of those.
Oh, good to know.
The hipster brunch, I have some, but I think they're from last year.
Oh, yeah, you don't want that one.
So unless you want to be wearing it.
Yeah.
I have yet to drain pour mine. I think I saw a picture of Dugout pouring his down the drain a couple
times. Yeah, that was, I think was just last weekend when I started pulling beers out. And I'd had a few bottles that were given to me that had a lot of age on them, and they were just given to me as a, if drink them, there's no guarantee on these. And so one night I was just sort of going through some of those and figured I didn't have high hopes on anything. And, I had one that was pretty decent. There were two others that just ended up, one I finished, another one just a few sips and down the drain it went. And I thought, I had a four pack of that hipster brunch, and I'd had one that was sour. I had another one that drank beautifully. And then that was it. And I knew I'd drinking or poured one of the other ones, and I went down to my fridge and there it was. And I went, oh, I thought I was done with these. And I opened it up and I took one sip and just went, ah. And I did. I took a picture of it just pouring down the drain.
Oh, I bought.
And and I wanted to reel us back to where we were talking about odd sides. They go out on a limb and they do crazy stuff, and not all of it works. And I'm sure that's the growing pains of being a younger brewery. They haven't been around forever. They do make some outstanding beers. And, there's other beers they push the envelope with that are definitely not for everybody. I mean, yeah, they'll make a banana beer. They'll make a watermelon beer. Just they're all over the board with crazy stuff like that.
I love the places that go out of their way and make odd things. We know that the Dogfish Head, they experiment a lot, and they miss a lot, and I tend not to talk about the ones that they miss on, but you go to the Brewpub, and there's Brewpub-only stuff all the time, and some of it's really good, and some of it's, I doubt they're ever going to even remotely think about making it again, but they tried, And sometimes it works and you end up with beer for breakfast, and sometimes it doesn't work and you distribute it anyway and you call it Sequench. But I love we've got some places around here that do that as well, and keep trying new things, guys.
Well, Dogfish's motto is off-centered ales. Yeah. They call it like it is. They're like, we're going to do crazy things and let the chips fall where they may. Nothing
well,
wrong
and
with
if it weren't
adventure.
For these, if it weren't for these innovators and these artists, reaching out to just push the envelope and try new things, we wouldn't have a lot of the beers that we've reviewed on the show. In a lot of examples, the bourbon barrel age stuff that's very recent in brewing, American brewing, and. A lot of the adjunct beers that we've tasted and raved over, with the Mexican cake with the cocoa and the cinnamon, and the Jocovesia with the Mayan herbs, and it's you're gonna miss a few times, but when you hit it out of the park, it's something special.
Yeah, I was gonna tell you that Southern Pines actually did a BA version of the Drunken Vigils, and sad to say, it missed it. I don't know if they rushed it or whatever else, but it came out nowhere near as good as the regular, and it missed on a lot of levels. They didn't bottle it. It was only available on draft earlier this year, and I don't know. Maybe they'll try again next year and do things a little differently, but what they made this year as a BA version of Vigils, it missed completely, but that's okay. They tried, and they have another product that was awesome, so.
Well, you know what? If it ain't broke, don't fix it.
Yeah.
Yeah, the other thing about that, we'd be stuck with all Rheinheitsgebot beers, with four ingredients, and nothing against the Germans, but, it's nice to expand out a little bit.
Wicked Mead made a porter called Hop Cocoa, which I'm not even going to bother sending you. It's still on the shelves here, and there's a reason for that. And,
The name doesn't even sound appealing.
Hop Cocoa?
Yeah.
It's not hopping off the shelves, huh?
Now it's probably one of their biggest misses. They bottled it in 4-packs. It wasn't a bomb or anything, but they bottled it in their little 4-pack.
You know what? If there's one brewery I'll give a pass, it's Wicked Weed, because yeah. I haven't had that one, but everything I've had from them have been lights out. So they're allowed to miss.
I was gonna say, even they experiment a lot, and they probably have a higher ratio of hits on their experiments than other places, but they still miss. And
it happens. Nobody's perfect.
Yeah, I got a miss in my glass. We won't name them, but yeah, I'll tell you guys when we're done recording. But but it is a nod to all of these. Excuse me, these breweries. I mean, we've done this show now for over a year, and I'd like to think we're maybe ankle deep in the craft beer world. As far as we're over a year into this now, and there's so many more shows we can do. I mean, so many more things to look forward to. I mean, I think Dugout, we hit on something earlier tonight when you brought up the fact that we haven't done a collaboration show yet. I mean, that's probably going to be it'll be hard to track down, but it'll probably be an awesome show. But thanks to everybody who has listened, who has downloaded, who has shared. You guys have proven that there is definitely demand and room in this world for a craft beer podcast. Thanks to everybody. You can follow us at Beer Nuts Podcast on Twitter, at Beer Nuts Podcast on Instagram. You can click on, do we have any glasses left, JR?
One.
Oh, one left.
We're gonna place an order here soon. I'll get with you on that.
Yeah, well,
no. We've been sitting on that one for a long time.
Yeah. Just click on win this glass, right? Win the glass. We got one left.
More to go, and then we're gonna reorder.
And so speaking of collaboration, that's when the collaboration glasses will start. We'll finally have the beer. We're finally going to make the Beer Nuts tulip glasses. You know, it'll be the collaboration between the Beer Nuts and the Michigan Beer Guy. And it'll be in a glass, and you can get it. Maybe we'll
it'll
start
be the
selling
last
them.
One of its kind, because the next one will be Beer Nuts branded.
Yeah. But
in a few special ones, we'll have our faces etched into it.
Oh, no.
Just kidding.
But thanks to everybody who's listened, who's downloaded. And we will catch you next week. Thanks for listening, everybody.
As they say in old Mexico City,
AMF. If you enjoy this show and want more people to know about it, head on over to iTunes, leave a comment, and rate it 5 stars. Make sure you like and share us on Facebook, and don't forget to follow us on Twitter. Just search for Christopher Media. Thank you in advance for supporting Christopher Media by clicking on the PayPal button and by clicking through to all the sponsors who support ChristopherMedia.net. Most importantly, we would like to take the time to extend an extra special thanks to you. Christopher Media could not exist without your support. Thank you for visiting ChristopherMedia.net, and thank you for listening. Christopher Media. Let's make some noise. Thank you for visiting ChristopherMedia.net.